This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want you to know how much I appreciate those of you who may be watching today for the very first time. Thank you for your interest in the Word of God. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. And I emphasize this course is free. We'd like for you to avail yourself of the opportunity of studying the Bible using this course in the privacy of your own home. In order that you might know more about the course and how to receive the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read to you now from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon is at the close of his life. He looks back and he says, let me tell you what you need to do with your life. You need to remember God. To remember is a tremendous blessing. Suppose you lost the ability to remember. You would not know why you're watching this telecast. You would not know who you are, where you are. You would not know what you're supposed to do next if you did not have the ability to remember. All people do not remember God. And there is that danger of man being forgetful of God, or else Solomon would not have said, remember God in the days of your youth. Remember God while you're young. Make it a lifestyle to remember God Almighty. So many people in modern society have forgotten about God. And they're leaving God out of their lives. In Luke's gospel, Jesus talked about a rich farmer. And this farmer had so much produce that he had to pull down his barns and build greater barns. And there he would store up all of his goods. And he said to his soul, you've got goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God came to that man. And he called him a fool. He said, thy fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who shall those things be? Here was a man who was so involved in his life, in providing things for himself and for years to come, that he forgot about God. And the unfortunate thing is that many people today are traveling the same road this man trod, going through life, leaving God completely out of their lives. Do you know that nations can forget God and national leaders can forget about God? Well, what happens when nations forget God? Well, in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17, we're told what happens when nations forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Jeremiah talked about the man's forgetfulness of God in Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 32. When he said, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Oh, we may outwardly acknowledge God. We may use the name God in the In so many ways, we might even have the name of God on our currency. We may pray that God will continue to bless America. But God is not interested in mottos. God is not interested in signs that we may put on the bumpers of our automobiles that have His name in it. God wants us to have Him in our hearts. God wants us to trust Him with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Sometimes nations completely, totally forget about God. Sometimes the only thing nations are concerned about is their military strength and their power. You know, the psalmist wrote about that in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the Lord my God. We do not need to leave God out. We trust in military strength, military power, and forget about God. Solomon said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You cannot live a life of righteousness apart from God. All His commandments are righteousness. And so blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Are we trusting God in our nation today? Is God number one in our nation today? Yes, indeed, nations can forget about God. Let me ask a question. What happens when national leaders turn to God? Well, let me tell you what happened to Brother old King Hezekiah. Isaiah came to Hezekiah and he said, I want you to know, Hezekiah, that you need to set your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to live. There has never been a national leader but what he did not face the inevitable in life. There are national leaders that are still alive today, and they're going to face the inevitable in life. That is, one day, lest the Lord should come first, they're going to die. They're not going to rule and reign forever and forever. Only God does that. And so one day they're going to meet God in death. And Hezekiah was told, you're going to meet God in death. Set your house in order. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to God. What did he do? He relied on God instead of relying on Hezekiah. And as a result of turning to God, God lengthened his life by 15 years. And when the Assyrians sent a vast army against Hezekiah and the nation, God helped them. As a matter of fact, we're told that 185 men woke up dead. That is, God slew 185,000 of the Assyrians, and then they turned around and they went back home. They were protected. Why? I believe it was because Hezekiah, who was a good king, turned to God. We need national leaders today who rely on God instead of relying on their ability to manipulate people, relying upon their ability to do things on their own strength and their own power. Yes, indeed, nations can forget God. But there has never been a nation since time began that ruled God out, that came out on top. Well, not only can nations forget about God, even an entire church can forget about God. There are local congregations of the Lord's church throughout America where they have put the Lord on the outside. Let me tell you about a church that we read about in the Bible where they forgot about the Lord. That's the church of Laodicea. Jesus is pictured in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, as standing on the outside of this church. And He's knocking on the door of their heart, wanting to get back in. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in and I'm going to sup with him and he with me. He said, I want you just to open up the door. Let me back in. They had driven the Lord from their midst through their lukewarm attitude and spirit. The Lord writing to them said, I wish you're lukewarm, but I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold instead of being lukewarm. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You see, churches can forget about God. If we're going to have God in our lives, in a congregation, we've got to be people who learn to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. When you walk by faith, that means you're depending on God. I've seen congregations in the churches of Christ, and they felt they had it made because they had a very popular man as their speaker, as their preacher, or they had some fantastic program. We need to realize that we are nothing without God. And we need to get down on our knees and ask God to forgive us for driving Him from our midst because of our lukewarm, apathetic attitudes. The church may forget about God. You see, God is not interested in the programs we have. He's interested in the souls that we save. I don't believe there's one thing that we're to do other than one, except this one thing, and that is in our life as a church, we're to glorify God. Everything we do is to be to God's glory. When we start doing it for self-glorification, it becomes quite evident to others we're doing that. But we're to do it to the glory and to the honor of Jehovah God. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whether you eat or whether you drink, do it all to the glory of God. But so nations can forget God. Entire churches can forget God, like the church at Laodicea. But then an individual may forget God. So Moses said, beware lest you forget. Don't forget about God. Jesus asked that we follow Him. Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 24 said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's an interesting reading in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 57. And it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. Lord, I want you to know, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Are you willing to say that today? Lord, wherever you go, I will follow you. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, they said, wherever you go, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Well, he said, I don't have any place that I can call home. I don't have a place that I can call where I, that I can say that this is where I reside. He said, foxes do, birds have, but I don't. Another said to him, he said to another, follow me. But he said, well, let me first go and bury my father. Let me go take care of things at home. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And someone else said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And so they wanted to, before they would follow Jesus, they had other things they wanted to do. Isn't that the way that some people follow the Lord today? They say, well, yes, Lord, I love you, Jesus. But you know, my son has a ball game this weekend, and I won't be there on Sunday morning when the church comes together. I won't be there, Lord. Yes, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, and I want to follow you, Jesus. But you know, Jesus, I don't always do what you would have me to do. But I really love you, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said to these men. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, follow me, there was nothing else to do but to lay down what you're doing without reservation and follow him. Jesus asked us to follow him, but sometimes we have other things that we want to do, And we get so tied up with the rat race of life that we forget about the most important thing, and that's following Jesus. We're to live sacrificial lives. How much sacrificing are we doing for the Lord today? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, we need to lay it all down for Jesus, but sometimes we forget what we're supposed to do. We have influence, but sometimes we forget the power of our influence upon others as an individual. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, be thou an example of the believers. I don't want to let anybody despise your youth, but you be an example to other people. And we need to be an example to those that we work with every day. We need to be an example to our neighbors. We need to be an example to our families. We need to be examples to weak people in the church. I do not believe that I should ever do anything that I could not recommend to the weakest Christian that I know. I should never do anything that would be a stumbling block to anything, to anyone, and keep them from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes the lost forget. Sometimes we forget about the worth of our souls. Have you thought about your soul lately? Have you thought about how valuable your soul really is? Jesus made this statement, well, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, my soul is more valuable than all the wealth and all of the riches and all of the fame of this world. If I should gain everything there is in this world, and if people would say that's the most important man in the world, that's the richest man in the world, and there are those that can make those claims to be the wealthiest of the world, but if they lose their souls in the process of gaining fame and fortune, what have they gained? I don't think we think about our souls as much as we should. Our souls are given to us by God, and when we die, our bodies are going back to the earth, and our spirit, our soul, will go back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 6. One day, I'm going to meet God in death, because it's appointed unto a man once to die. And I have an idea that many who are not thinking about their soul's destiny today will think about it then. Our soul will last forever. Whatever our destiny is, it will be forever. When a man goes to heaven, he'll spend one day in heaven, and that will last for all eternity. It will never end, because heaven is an eternal abode of the saved. And if a person should lose their soul and they should end up in a place of torment, it will not be for 500 years. If it were for 500 years, they could say at the end of the first year, well, I have some hope at least, because only 499 more years in this horrible place and I will be out. But you see, it will be forever and ever and ever. Sometimes we forget about our souls. We pamper our bodies, but we neglect our souls. We're concerned about that new, nice, shiny automobile we have. And I've seen people get out and they would polish and work on their car, keep their car spotless, but they're not concerned about the condition of their soul. We need to think about eternity. Sometimes we forget about our souls. You see, each heartbeat, we are that closer to eternity. And today we're told by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 is the day of salvation for us. We need to think about our condition as it stands between us and God right now. If you're not a Christian, I want to urge you to be a Christian and do something for yourself. And the greatest thing you will ever do for yourself is the salvation of your soul. And Jesus Christ is your Savior and He is your Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Sometimes we forget about that. And we get so engrossed in life around us that we forget about the most important thing in life. And that's being saved. So that one day when we leave this old world, we can have hope in our heart and we can be with God forever and forever and forever. Are you saved? Well, Jesus died to save you. And we're told that the gospel is a power of God unto salvation in Romans 1 and verse 16. Someone says, well, I've heard you talk about the gospel, so what is it? What is the gospel? The word gospel literally means good news. Let me tell you about the good news. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now that's the first four verses of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And there Paul said, I preach the good news to you. The good news about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's good news because that tells me that I will live again. Now, he wrote that to the Corinthian church. But what did the people in the Corinthian church do to have the salvation of their souls? We turn to the book of Acts, the 18th chapter, and in verse 8, we learn what they did to obey the gospel. That is, they obeyed a likeness of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And they saved their souls. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, what did they hear? The gospel, the good news. Believe, what did they believe? They believed the gospel. Hearing, believed, when were baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16. You see, we are closer to eternity than we've ever been. And we do not need to forget about the salvation of our souls. Man's going to his long home, and the mourners are going about the streets. We're living in a short home now. They're just a few years on this earth. If you should live to be 100 and beyond, that's not long compared to eternity. We're all on our way home to eternity. And God's Spirit is not going to always strive with man. It did not in the days of Noah. And God said, the end of all flesh is come up before me. And God, because of man's condition, because of man's rebellion, because of man's turning his back up on Him, that is upon God, destroyed the world with water in the days of Noah. And only Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives were saved. When the world comes to an end, and it shall one day, because Peter said the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So one day it will come to an end, just like it did in the days of Noah. But we want to know, and we want to be certain, absolutely certain, that we're right with God when that should happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, Peter makes the statement, seeing that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, and so we need to ask ourselves, what kind of a life should I be living in view of the fact that God is not going to always strive with the people of this old world? There's a day coming on God's calendar when God is going to say, enough is enough. I have no idea when that will come, because not only do I not know, not only do the angels not know, the Son does not even know, Jesus does not know. That information belongs only to God the Father. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we don't need to forget about the most important thing there is in life. We're living today in, I would call it, the day of grace. We're living at a time where God's grace is available for each and every one of us. It was to Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. And today the door is open for you and for me. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. Jesus, our Savior, is the door, that, and we need to enter that door in order that we be saved. And to be saved, we must apply our sins and apply the blood of Jesus to our sins. Jesus, in Matthew 26 and 28, said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. How do we receive the remission of our sins? How am I going to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, have you ever done that? You say, well, Brother Lambert, I've been thinking about my baptism. I've been thinking about my soul. I want to be saved, and I want to live a good Christian life. Oh, how we need to be doing that today. Our world is infested with the rot and the stench of sin, and we need to turn our lives over to God. Moses said, beware, beware, lest I forget. May we never forget our importance of our giving our lives to our God in heaven. I want to thank you for watching today, and I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Also, pick up the telephone now, call for the free Bible course. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.